Our lesson this morning is out of Psalm 39, 1 to 13, finding God's help in overcoming temptation to sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 10 teaches us that we believers in Christ have all committed acts of sin, even as believers. However, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 reveals that God does not want us to sin. So that implies that we can avoid committing acts of sin. And Psalm 39, 1 to 13 offers insight on utilizing God's enabling to overcome the temptation to sin. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into His Word. Father, we're so grateful for the opportunity of being able to fellowship with each other in Christ. We thank You for the Word of God. We thank You for the Spirit of God, who is our paraclete, the one who runs alongside to help us understand the Word, teach it to us, and then to equip us to live it. We ask for wisdom today to understand the Word, and then dependence, a reminder to depend upon the Spirit of God to live it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, what we'll do is we'll read the King's English first, or the King James Version, Psalm 39, and then we'll look at it from the Hebrew text. Psalm 39. The introductory notes that says to the chief musician, even to Jeduthun, a psalm of David, that actually comprises verse 1 in the Hebrew text. But we're going to stay with the verse numberings that we have in English, because that way it doesn't get us mixed up. So verse 1, Psalm 39, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with the bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence, I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned, then I spoke with my tongue. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Truly, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. Surely, every man walketh as a vain show. Surely, they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knows not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth because thou didst it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. When thou with rebukes dost correct a man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. Selah. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee, and a sojourner as all my fathers were. O spare me, that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. Now, this particular psalm we had as an assignment at Dallas Seminary. We had to retranslate it under the tutelage of Dr. Bruce Waukee. Dr. Bruce Waukee got his doctorate at Harvard Divinity School. He was getting his, he was there in Hebrew, and then he came back to Dallas and got his doctorate at Dallas and so forth. So he's sound, but he's one of the top scholars. And he feels that, and I agree, that a lot of the translators have totally missed the boat on this psalm. So we're going to translate it from the Hebrew text itself as follows. Verse 1, I said, I will watch my ways and keep my tongue from sin. I will put a muzzle on my mouth while the wicked are in my presence. And you add the word consequently, I was dumb with silence. He's trying to make himself be silent and not say anything with the wicked in front of him. Consequently, I was dumb with silence. I was silent from even saying what was good, and my mental pain was stirred up. My heart grew hot within me. As I meditated, the fire burned. I spoke with my tongue. And that's when he speaks in sin. So he couldn't keep himself back from speaking in the presence of the wicked. All right, verse 4. Accordingly, make known to me, O Yahweh, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting they are, or I am. Behold, you have given my days as a mere handbreadth. A span of my years is as nothing before you. Each common man, this is the word Adam for a common man, each common man's life is but a vapor, Selah. And then verse 6, even a nobleman, this is the Hebrew word ish, even a nobleman is as a mere shadow as he goes about. He bustles about, but only in vain. He heaps up wealth, but he does not know who will even gather it. But now, Adonai, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Save me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the object of the reproach of fools. As a result, I was dumb in silence. I would not open my mouth because it was you who did it. See, what David is doing here is he's asking the Lord to remember, to remind him of how transient his life is, how fleeting it is. And in view of how fleeting it was, he would depart from sin, because when you realize your life is very, very short, it's not worth the effort to sin. You better just stay right with God, because eventually you're going to give account to God for everything that you do, everything that you think, everything you say. So that's why he's reminded of that. The Lord abundantly reminded him of how very fleeting his life was. So he was able to overcome that temptation that way because God shut his mouth. And then, because God's pressure is so great, he says, verse 10, remove your scourge. That's the discipline of seeing how transient I am as a motivation for me not to sin with my mouth in the presence of the wicked. So remove that scourge from me. I'm overcome by the blow of your hand. So he says, all right, God, you're punishing me enough. Back off. You know, I need some room here. Very interesting, very human is David here. Verse 11, you rebuke for iniquity. You discipline a nobleman, which David is in this case. You consume his wealth like a moth. Each common man, Adam again, is but a vapor. Selah. Hear my prayer, O Yahweh, and listen to my cry for help. Do not be deaf to my weeping, because I am a permanent alien with you, a temporary sojourner like all of my fathers. The brevity of his life, he feels like he's just a foreigner. He's just someone who's visiting. He's just passing on through. So the Lord's abundantly helped him here. Look away from me, if that's in his discipline, that I may rejoice again before I depart, and I am no more, or I exist no more, that is, in death. So we note some significant observations of this psalm. David struggled with the temptation to say what was sinful due to irritations produced by the presence of wicked people. So he asked God to remind him how transient he was, that he might put the lure of the wicked into a proper perspective and not sin. And God obliged. In fact, God so painfully made David see how transient he was that he became distraught over the revelation and asked God to stop it lest he die. So we can ask God to help us in times of temptation, and God will abundantly help us avoid sinning. If you ever face temptation again, ask God for help, and whew, he will come through with flying colors, because he really wants us to depart from sin. So that's what we need to do, is pray to the Lord when we are tempted. So we can ask God to help us in times of temptation. Also, recalling the brevity of our lives helps us to avoid yielding to sin. For we thus see that we do not have time to waste in sin, but only to use what little time we have in this life to heed and to serve the Lord. Billy Graham, as you know, is fading in his life at this point. A number of years ago, he was asked, this is when he was in his 70s, I think, about his ministry. He says, the thing that amazes me is how short it was. He says, when you look back on it, it's just like that. And that's very, very true. I was talking with my mother one time when she was in her 80s, and she said, man, life has been so fast. It wasn't just like yesterday, I was 25, and whew, here we are. So life does go short. It's very, very short in view of eternity. So the best thing to do is to make sure that we live for the Lord. If we waste our time in sin, we're wasting precious time. It's not worth it. So much temptation revolves around the world's lusts of the eyes, the lust of the flesh and the lust of pride. That's 1 John 2, verses 15 and 16. But the world and its lusts are in the current process of passing away. The Greek word there in verse 17 is paragatai, is a present tense. In other words, the world system is constantly going out of fashion. It's interesting, when I was in high school, there were these hit records that were going on, and now you hear it only as elevator music in a grocery store. This, you know, I remember when I was young, we used to hear elevator music, and that was stuff that was going on in my grandparents' day. You know, they were talking about when you wore a tulip and I wore a white carnation, or some of these old songs that go way back, you hardly even know them. But now, the elevator music, they were top hit songs when I was graduated from high school. They're being played in grocery stores. I get a kick out every time I go in there. The world is constantly going out of fashion. And it won't be too long, and they won't even be playing those anymore. They're going to be playing some other, you know, something from the 80s or the 70s. So The world is constantly going out of fashion, and its lusts, too. They're in a constant state of transition. That's what the word parago means. So only those who do God's will now have those works in his will last into eternity. So we best love the world. 1 John 2:17 says that he that does the will of God is abiding, present tense again, is abiding into the age. In other words, he has an impact that is going on and is very relevant today and is very relevant in the future. So it's very, very important to keep in mind how short life is. So David easily sinned when in the presence of the wicked. So he asked God to make him recall how trenchant he was to counter the temptation. And God obliged, overwhelming David. So he asked that God stop the revelation. Now, if tempted to sin, we can ask God to help us overcome it, and he will abundantly oblige. One way to counter temptation is to view the brevity of this life in comparison to eternity, to see how foolish it is to sin now. In my graduation year at high school, Durham High School in California, I won some awards in sports. I had been student body president and won a little gavel and a couple other things. And I remember walking out of the school, I had these awards in my hand, and I looked back and I recognized that we would never again, probably as a group, ever meet. Even if we went back to our class reunions, you wouldn't have the entire student body there. The only people who would ever appreciate those things were the people that were in that room. And I realized I was holding these gifts in my hand, these awards, and I was thinking, this is incredible. This is almost not worth it. And I knew the Lord as my Savior at that time. I was 18 years of age, and I remember thinking, you know what? I want to work for awards that are going to last. And that's when I made a commitment to the Lord and just to follow him, went off to Bible college. And at Multnomah School of the Bible in Portland is where I went. And then went into seminary and so forth. And to this day, here I am. I'm 68 years old. I don't regret having made that decision one bit, because we're still awaiting for the awards ceremony in heaven. And, of course, the awards there will be won by God's power, by God's grace, and for God's glory. But they'll be around forever. So it's really worth it to think in terms of eternity. Life is incredibly short. We have our youth with us just for a very short time, and then it goes on into eternity. And if we give our lives to the Lord in terms of eternity, we'll never regret it. In fact, we'll be more and more appreciative of that fact as time goes on. And also that helps us to depart from sin and to depart from the temptations to sin. So we need to keep that in mind. Okay, we're going to open this up for questions. If you have a question in regards to the psalm itself, you can ask it. If there's a question in regards to something else that has come up, we'll seek to do our best.